things we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings, sports fans. This is the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm Jason Patinkin in Washington, filling in this week for Sonny Young. It's Tuesday, September 29th. Thank you for tuning in. We've got a great show for you lined up, so do not reduce the volume. We'll start today with the football. Tottenham Hotspur manager Jose Mourinho says he will have to focus on the Europa League rather than the Carabao Cup because of his side's congested fixture schedule. The Spurs face Chelsea today before taking on Israel's Maccabi Haifa in the final round of Europa League qualifying on Thursday. Those two games are sandwiched between Spurs' weekend's Premier League commitments. First, there was a 1-1 draw with Newcastle last Sunday. Then they have a trip to Manchester United this Sunday. With the games coming quickly, Mourinho told reporters after the draw with Newcastle that the Europa League offered Spurs better financial incentives. He also said there was a danger that players could get burned out or injured, citing the example of striker Sun Heung-min, who was taken off injured at halftime. Here's Josie.
I would like to fight for the Carabao, but I don't think I can. We have a game on Thursday that give us not as much money as Champions League, but the group phase of Europa League give us a certain amount that for a club like us is very important. It's a competition with a possible group phase that give us a good chance to go through to the next knockout stage. So this game on Thursday is very important for us. As you know, and forgetting the past Thursday, we played on a Sunday, now we play on a Tuesday, we play on a Thursday, and then we play on the Sunday again. And I think Sony was just the first. More will come. Sony was the first, but more will come.
He was asked whether he plans to rotate his squad for the match. Here's his answer.
But if we do that, and we are going to do that, we know the consequences of it. Because not every player is the same. And not every player has the same group dynamica, because we have clearly a spine, and obviously that you lose potential. I think they have to be very, very upset. I think they have to. I have total sympathy for them. I don't think they did anything wrong. They were tested. I think they deserve to play against us.
On the Chelsea side, new signing Edward Mendy could make his debut in goal today against Tottenham. However, team manager Frank Lampard maintains the arrival of the Senegal international does not mean the end of Kepa Arrizabalaga's club career. Kepa's latest high-profile error came in the 2-0 defeat at home to Liverpool in the second game of the new season, which allowed Sadio Mane to double his side's lead at Stamford Bridge. Kepa has been singled out for criticism, which Lampard believes is often unfair because of his club record €78.15 million contract. Here's Lampard.
No, I certainly won't go to the point of played his last game for Chelsea. I think it's been a difficult time for Kepa. I think that's well documented. I know it and he knows it. But we should certainly not jump to that conclusion. And also, I think, which I felt quite strongly about in the last week, is also understand that Kepa is a young man. And a lot of the highlight or spotlight on him, I think, has become slightly unfair. I have to protect him because I know he's a good lad and playing with absolute professionalism and intent to do the best he can. When I analyse Tottenham and know the squad they have and analyse what might be a team that maybe didn't play 90 minutes pretty much yesterday, they have a fantastic squad. So I feel that any squad Jose will put out can be very strong. I think we all know the Carabao Cup for teams like ourselves and Tottenham that are challenging for top four and Champions League like we are, then the Carabao Cup does have its place, but we certainly respect it, and every tournament we go in we'll try and win.
The no-confidence motion against under-fire Barcelona president Josep Bartomeu is underway after the club allegedly received the number of signatures needed to bring forward the proposal. The motion was put forward after Lionel Messi requested to leave the club following a fallout with the president. Messi has since reversed his decision but has seen long-term allies Luis Suarez and Arturo Vidal sold by the club. Jordi Fare, promoter of motion of censure against the Barcelona president, had this to say. He says, quote, "We have no doubts that the signatures collected will be enough. We've collected 5,000 more signatures than we need to make it pass. In previous motions, there have been 4%, 5%, or 6% of negative firms, and I think this time around will be the same case. We are sure that the motion of censure will be passed, and approximately 20 days after its validation is confirmed, we will have to hold a referendum," end quote. Barca got their season under new coach Ronald Koeman off to an impressive start following a 4-0 win over Villarreal with Messi on the score sheet. Atletico Madrid boss Diego Pablo Simeone did not rule out both Diego Costa and Luis Suarez playing together when they face Huesca in La Liga.
Veremos, pueden empezar Costa y Suarez también juntos.
Asked if they would play together, he says, quote, "Why not? They can start together, or maybe either Suarez or Costa from the start of the match. We will see. In the 90 minutes, I think they could play alone or together," end quote. He says the team has only seen humility from Suarez since he arrived. He says, quote, "A player like him with his hierarchy and his history in all the clubs he has played, he always proved he is a very humble person. He is really looking forward to proving on the pitch how important he can be, firstly for the team and also for the rest of the squad," end quote. Atletico Madrid started their La Liga campaign with an impressive 6-1 victory over Granada, with Suarez scoring twice in his opening match as an Atletico player. More in La Liga, Real Madrid looked clinical in their final training session ahead of hosting Real Valladolid on Wednesday. Here's a clip of their practice. Zinedine Zidane's side has taken 4 points from their opening two matches of the new campaign, following a goalless draw away to Real Sociedad before a 3-2 comeback win versus Real Betis. Visitors Valladolid faced the daunting task of trying to avoid a second defeat in their opening four matches. Moving to North America, LA head coach Frank Vogel looks ahead to the NBA Finals against the Miami Heat. The best-of-seven series begins Wednesday. LeBron James and the Lakers face challenges from the likes of Bam Adebayo and veteran finalist Andre Iguodala. Here's Lakers head coach Vogel.
They're unique. You know, each team is unique, but I do believe that we've learned lessons in each of the first three rounds that will help us with this series and with this opponent, you know, without getting into all the details of them. There are some similarities to each of those opponents, you know, that hopefully will have strengthened some of the things that we need to do to beat the Miami Heat. You know, they're extremely well coached. You know, obviously, they got a lot of ways that they can beat you. To me, they have three all-star level players in Butler, Bam, and I've always felt Goran Dragic, when healthy, is an all-star level player. Obviously, a Hall of Fame addition, and Andre Iguodala. They have shooting, they have toughness, and like I said, they're they're extremely well coached. So there's no surprise that they've had such a successful postseason run. Very impressed with what they've been able to accomplish, beating three teams convincingly that we're on pace, if they win 82-game season, to win plus 50 games. And, we're going to have to be at our best to beat them.
Here's his take on Bam Adebayo.
Yeah, he's not becoming. He's already there. You know, he's terrific. Had the chance to spend a little time with him on All-Star Weekend. And, he's a terrific young man, a great talent. Really fits the modern NBA, you know, in terms of playing the center position with all that he can do. Obviously, being a dynamic roller, but like Nikola Jokic. You know, he'll bring the ball up at the five position and run the break and make plays off the bounce, which is very unique for the center position. And he can really do it all. You know, protects the rim defensively, can switch out, does a lot of things, and is a huge reason for their success this year.
He also spoke of his own team's experience.
Yeah, experience is important, but it's not everything. You know, we've got a lot of guys that haven't been here before that behave like champions. You know, and there's that old phrase, champions behave like champions before they're champions. You know, and, you know, obviously the experience brings value, you know, but, you know, the guys that are here, just having that hunger, whether they've been there or not, having that hunger and that ability to perform at a level, to become a champion, you know, that's what's most important. And, you know, that's what I feel like our whole roster represents.
Also in the NBA, the LA Clippers have parted ways with longtime head coach Doc Rivers after their run in the NBA playoffs was cut short this year. AP's Mike Gracia has that story.
After blowing a 3-1 lead and losing to the Denver Nuggets in the NBA Western Conference semifinals, the Los Angeles Clippers are making a coaching change. In a statement posted on Twitter, Doc Rivers announced he will not return as Clippers coach. The Clippers said team chairman Steve Ballmer and Rivers came to the decision jointly. Rivers is considered the best coach in Los Angeles Clippers history, compiling the most wins, most playoff appearances, and best winning percentage. But in his seven seasons, the Clippers never made it to the conference finals while making the playoffs six times. Rivers coached the Boston Celtics to the 2008 NBA title. I'm Mike Gracia.
Thanks to AP's Mike Gracia for that story. In the National Hockey League in North America, the Tampa Bay Lightning have won the Stanley Cup championship. Here's AP's Walt Marisicano with that story.
The Tampa Bay Lightning hoisted their second ever Stanley Cup Monday night after defeating the Dallas Stars 2-0 in Game 6 of the 2020 Stanley Cup Finals. Braden Point scored the eventual game winner with just over 7 minutes to go in the first period. Point led all players in the finals with 5 goals. Victor Hedman was awarded the Conn Smythe Trophy as the most valuable player of the playoffs.
You know, it takes a lot to be, you know, in a bubble for 80 days or whatever long you lost, I don't know. It's all worth it now. We're coming home with the cup, so happy.
The Lightning's Blake Coleman, a Plano, Texas native who grew up cheering the Dallas Stars as a child, scored the only other goal in the game. Andre Vasilevsky, who played every game in net for Tampa Bay, earned the shutout, stopping all 22 Dallas shots. I'm Walt Marsicano.
The Nigeria Kickboxing Federation says it's delighted with the victory of Nigerian-born Israel Adesanya in a mixed martial arts fight against Brazilian Paulo Costa. Adesanya defeated Costa in Dubai to retain the UFC middleweight title on September 27th. Abubakar Yakubu is the president of Nigeria Kickboxing Federation. He spoke to reporter Mike Mbonye about Adesanya's victory in the UFC fight. He says Nigeria is blessed with more athletes capable of winning titles.
We're very excited. We're happy. We have no doubt that he was going to win. He's technically very, very sound. And apart from being very talented, we also know that he prepares very well for his matches and all competitions. So happy that he's a role model, a positive role model on the Nigerian youths, especially the athletes and fighters. He has shown the resilience of the Nigerian spirit, and especially in the field of sports. So we know that he'll be an encouragement to the upcoming fighters as a role model, and will popularize mixed martial arts in this country. And very, very soon, we're sure, very, very, very the world is going to hear from our sport.
What efforts have you made to popularize the game in Nigeria? And do you think Nigeria is blessed with more athletes like Adesanya?
Nigeria is already very, very, very good in combat sports. I'm talking about karate and taekwondo, kickboxing. So we find a lot of these athletes now going into MMA, mixed martial arts. There's a lot of competition coming up in the cities of Lagos and Port Harcourt, which are the main cities in terms of combat sports for now. Except for this COVID-19 pandemic that has put a little stop on combat sports and other sports generally, we'll have had another competition in Lagos as at 2 months ago. So it's a very, very, very vibrant sporting scene. We have other talents here, in fact, champions, the likes of Abdullahi Triga, we have Emmanuel Bernard, we have Bright Green, we have Jibril Anthony Bauer, Ekpere Prince, we have Onem Richard, we have Sam King, we have Sadiq Mohammed. In the female side, we have people like Lovette Ikufu, we have Juliet Oka, and Yola Batmos. We have a lot of them, and I dare say that the world should watch because the Nigerian champions are coming.
That was Abubakar Yakubu, president of the Kickboxing Federation of Nigeria, speaking to reporter Mike Mbonye. We'll now go over to Paris for the French Open tennis tournament at Roland Garros. U.S. superstar Serena Williams defeated American Kristi Ahn in the first round Monday. Serena is gunning for her 24th major title, which would tie her for the most ever, alongside Australian Margaret Court. Serena is the sixth seed at the French Open. She won her 23rd major title at the Australian Open in 2017 before taking a break to give birth to her daughter. Since coming back in 2018, she has reached four Grand Slam finals but has yet to clinch victory. Serena says she's putting too much pressure on herself by striving for perfection in everything she does.
I mean, that's the thing, right? You don't play that many perfect matches. So that's one thing I've been working on in this off season. I use loosely, but it's just understanding that I have to let go of that. I don't know the word I'm looking for, expectation. And that doesn't mean I'm lowering my expectations. It just means I'm having realistic expectations of not winning every point in every game and every shot. So, so it sounds crazy, but, you know, that's me, and that's what makes me me. You know, I'm me, I'm Serena, and at some point I'm always going to have some level of perfection, but I just need to have a more reasonable level so I can not put so much stress on me mentally.
Serena has also been overcoming an Achilles tendon injury. Here's how she's been doing that.
A ton of prayer. I'm doing so much for it. I did so much for it at Patrick's Academy. Like, I went straight from New York directly to his academy and just started rehabbing it. And so, one of the reasons I came into press a little bit earlier than normal, because I need to get back and start the protocol all over again. So just kind of just rehab that laser ice, just a lot of stuff on it.
Number 5 seed Dutch tennis player Kiki Bertens won her first round's match and now is preparing to face Italian Sara Errani tomorrow. Here's Bertens.
Yeah, it's going to be a really tough one. I think I have to be ready to play a really long match, so long rallies. I have to be patient. Again, have to use my forehand a lot, and then we'll see. So I'm just going to prepare as good as I can.
7th seed Petra Kvitova also heads to the second round to face Italian Jasmine Paolini tomorrow. The Czech Kvitova says this year's French Open is a bit strange with few fans in attendance, but at least there are more than at the U.S. Open, which had none.
Yeah, it's a little bit different compared to U.S. Open. I think we are very glad and very pleased, honestly, that we are here and we can play here, even with few spectators. So I really miss them. So it's really nice that they could come. I know it's not full, but it's still better than nothing, for sure. The bubble, yeah, that's our life right now. So it's only can be worse and better as well, right? So I'm not really complaining about anything. I'm just really glad that we are able to play at another Grand Slam this year. And that's really good news.
On the men's side, clay court master Rafael Nadal started his quest for a record-extending 13th French Open title. He defeated Belarusian Egor Gerasimov in straight sets on Monday. The Spaniard Nadal, looking to equal Swiss great Roger Federer's record of 20 Grand Slam men's singles titles, is used to slow starts at Roland Garros, and this year's debut was no different.
I don't know. I played quite a solid match with my when I was serving. No, I was playing some good points. I did some good forehands winners down the line. That's a key shot for me. And then I have to play a little bit longer. I played sometimes too short. But in general terms, that's a normal first match of a Roland Garros, no? And coming with the situation that I am coming. No, I'm happy, honestly. I did the things that I had to do. I didn't expect much more, and I didn't expect less too. No, I'm quite happy about how the match had evolved. He served well. Was not easy to make breaks, but in some way I did things well, and happy for the victory.
Conditions are tough in the wet autumn weather with few fans compared with the usually jam-packed summer tournament. Here's Nadal on that.
It's a different Roland Garros, of course. We play in the same place, but the conditions are completely different than any other Roland Garros that we play at. But the only thing that, as I say, the first day too, the only thing that I can do is just stay positive, do my job, try my best every single day. That's what I did since I arrived here. Practice with the right attitude, being positive, and that's what I did today in the match. There's things that I can improve, yes, but it's a positive start, and tomorrow I have another day to practice, and after tomorrow again on court. So happy for that, and even if the conditions, of course, and is not about, it is a real thing, the conditions are not the ideal ones, I will fight for my goals every single moment.
But Austrian Dominic Thiem, fresh off his win at the U.S. Open earlier this month, says he is enjoying the conditions following his first round win.
My level was good. I was very happy with the way I played from the beginning to the end, basically. And conditions, I'm used to them, or I know how to play in those kind of conditions, obviously. Because in Austria we have many days like that, and then from junior times and when I started to play professional on the futures in March in Croatia or Czech Republic, there were many tournaments with similar conditions, cold, heavy balls. So it's not really something new for me, and it helps against guys like Marin, because it's a little bit easier to return many serves back in the court and to run down almost every ball. So I like these conditions, and anyway, we have to do the best we can because it's a very special year.
A couple big names fell Monday on the men's side. Eighth-seeded Gael Monfils, a home court favorite from France, lost in four sets to Kazakh Alexander Bublik. That's Monfils' third opening match loss in a row. He was not happy after the match.
I have no words, you know, to say, you know, anything, to be honest. Definitely was not a great one. Was actually the worst one. 100% sure that I had. But that's the condition.
Felix Auger-Aliassime also lost in straight sets to Japan's Yoshihito Nishioka, who faces French wildcard Hugo Gaston next. The Badminton World Federation, or BWF, has defended their decision to postpone the season-ending Asian leg. Originally, it was to be in November this year, but now it will be pushed back to January 2021. The move upset many players when it was announced. BWF's president, Thomas Lund, said time constraints were the reason for the postponement.
As you can see, the Asian leg have only just been confirmed, and I'm sure you'll appreciate setting up that level of events is a fairly complex and big exercise. So simply due to time constraints, we are not able to actually field it before in January, and January was felt to be the best place to not only ensure that we can get all the logistical arrangement in place for both ourselves, the tournament set up, but also for athletes and the member federations to actually organize that they can get to the events, which is important, of course, also.
Players will have to quarantine for 14 days in Bangkok, undergoing several COVID-19 tests, before competing in the three tournaments in Bangkok that are part of the Asian leg. Here is BWF Deputy President Kunying Patama Liswatrakul.
All players and entourage must have their COVID-19 test from the origins before they get on board to ensure that they are COVID-19 free and fit to fly. Upon their arrival at the airport of Bangkok, they must take another COVID-19 test while they are at the designated hotel, which will be used for the quarantine practice, exercise, and competition. they have to comply with restrictions and measures under the concept of bubble protocols. While in the bubble during 14 days quarantine, the players will be tested for the COVID-19 several times.
The chaos in tournament scheduling has also reflected in the Olympic qualification process, with the BWF now admitting they have no exact answer how it will be completed. Earlier this month, the BWF were forced to postpone their blockbuster tournament, Thomas and Uber Cup, to next year. That's it for this Tuesday, September 28th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. I'm Jason Patinkin in Washington. Thanks to producer Mukbil Yabaro, and thanks to you for listening. Stay safe, stay healthy, and have a great evening.
Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's Newsmaker Interview Program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.